Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the Memorial Day weekend edition of the Grilling Guys. Hope you're in the middle of enjoying a long weekend. This is the time of year where we pause and reflect a little bit about those heroes that have gone before us to allow us to have the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy as Americans. And Barbecue Bob and I never forget that and want to pay honor to it as we move through, because a couple knuckleheads like us that get to play around and do the Grilling Guys, it's all because those that went ahead of us. I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It is a big weekend, and some people think it's kind of the kickoff to grilling in North America, but we all know that we grill year-round here, so it's just a time to intensify the fry and get a different apron out.
That's right, yeah. Get the summer colors out, right? Put the black one away.
Got to get the flowered one out, yeah. Little French ruffles.
So, well, you know what else is a sign of spring is that you get out there and you might have a glass of wine as opposed to a big, heavy beer or a cocktail when you're grilling. And joining us today in the studio, and we're going to see if we can twist his arm, make him hang around, is Brian Lesperance from Fenn Valley Winery. Brian, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're glad you're here. And, you know, feel free to interrupt Bob at any point in time if you hear something that he's saying that you disagree with.
Fair enough.
Feel free to pour a glass of wine, too, because yeah. I think it's after 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So Fenn Valley is, they've been our sponsors, and that's how I met Brian. They became sponsors when we were a fledgling little show.
Right.
And I reached out to him. I said, who's the closest vintner? And it's like, Fenn Valley, yeah, I've heard of them, had never been there. So I thought, well, I got a good excuse to go down there. And I actually talked to Brian, but I met his father-in-law, Doug Welch, who we worked with for several years. Doug's now retired and gallivanting around the world. He's a globetrotter. And,
he's semi-retired. he does the fun parts of the job.
Yeah, well, and Brian is at the helm now. And so welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for your years of sponsorship and keeping us on the air.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's been fun for us to talk grilling and wine, because I think that's something people don't always think about.
We do.
Yeah, right. There's always something in my left hand when the tongs are in the right, and generally it's a glass of something.
That's weird, because you're left-handed. So
I understand, but
you tong with your
priority
right.
I
drink with my left hand, Bob. That's why.
Oh, that's the
priority. Yeah. There,
okay,
right?
The skill is all in your left. Right. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Right. The left arm bends, the mouth opens. You know, that's how that goes.
I might be a little ambidextrous on both.
That's calling two-fisted, is what that is.
As long as you don't have the tongs in the same hand that your glass is in.
If you've got talent, you can do that, but it is difficult.
So Fenn Valley, that's, man, we all know the history. I mean, this little circle does, but why don't you tell folks when this place started and how it started, because it's a very cool story.
Sure, I'll do my best to do that story justice. We started in 1973, so at the time, making wine in Michigan was not necessarily an obvious decision. And so Doug and his father, Bill, were just enough crazy to figure out that you could combine agriculture and retail, two of the most difficult things to put to go to work doing, and combine them into one business. And so we've been doing it ever since. They found a really neat farm in Fennville, which is about 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids, just off 196. And bought part of it and sort of acquired some additional parcels over the years, and started making wines at first. And Doug will be the first to admit they were pretty crappy. Developed some skill, traveled all over the country, learning from other folks who had a little more experience. Gradually started making more and more sophisticated styles of wine. The wines that we tend to make in Michigan are modeled more after the European style, especially some of the cooler climates in Europe, like Burgundy, where their climate is similar to us in Michigan. So it's a lighter, it's a more fruit-driven, little lower alcohol style of wine that we make here in Southwest Michigan. So we sit here today on about 240 acres of some of the most beautiful farmland in Allegan County, I think.
Yeah, it is.
And we produce about 50 to 60,000 cases of wine annually now. We've become kind of big for Michigan, although my assistant winemaker came to us from Gallo, probably heard of him, and they have tanks that can hold more wine than our entire cellar, which I appreciate because right. We get to do fun stuff. We're small enough still where we can make some small batches. We're going to have a few small batches we're going to talk about today.
So. Cool. If you just tuned in, you are listening to The Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Wherever you're at, we want to thank you for listening. And WPS, The Twister, Wood Radio, ESPN, and WOND in New Jersey. There's wineries around everybody. So this conversation pertains to any part of the U.S. because the wineries seem to have popped up all over the place. But I think it's cool the way that your grandpa, your wife's grandpa, picked that land. And it just turned out to be just a fantastic place to produce grapes.
Now, the farmland is, we were talking about it, is here in Michigan anyway, is we had a little danger of frost about 3 or 4 weeks ago where we had some unseasonably warm weather, and then all of a sudden we had 2 or 3 days of very, very cold weather for May, and we ended up losing some of our crops that are along the lakeshore a little bit north of where we are. But, Brian, it was interesting to me for you to explain all the factors that go into that. Could you maybe go down that road a second?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the diciest time of year for us is spring. This climate provides us with enough drama where we don't have to go to the casino to go gambling. We just go to work every day. And what tends to happen is you do get that warm-up. This is not uncommon, and everything starts to shoot out. Luckily, wine grapes are, for lack of a better way to put it, kind of lazy. So they're typically behind a lot of your tree fruits. We didn't have a lot of development of green tissue, which is obviously what would be damaged by the cold air.
So they're a little bit safer than, say, cherries maybe or apples, peaches.
They tend to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, the timing is everything. There's certain developmental stages where they're more tender than others. So sometimes even a couple days can make a difference. But the big thing is we're near the lake, and that's why, of course, all the fruit that we see along the shores of Lake Michigan is there because the lake does a nice job of moderating our environment. And this time was a good example. The lake surface temperature is rather warm for this time of year because we had a fairly mild winter. And so those of us near the lake saw less low temperature that specific evening. I remember it was a Sunday night because you had that surface air, you know, the blowing across the lake, getting a slight amount of warmth.
It warms it up a little bit.
Just a couple degrees is all it takes. You know, mm-hmm. Those fans that you see in orchards, all they're doing is maybe 3-4 degree change of temperature, and that can make all the difference.
That's pretty cool, but we're going to, in the next segment, we're going to taste a little bit of this Fen Valley, and my mouth's watering just looking at this here. It's just such a great, you have so many wines. We're gonna delve into the different varietals you have. I want to give a little shout-out, Jop, if you don't mind, to a fantastic lady who left us this week. Her name was Lila Grummet, and her husband was the Kent County Sheriff. Kent County is like the second or third largest county in Michigan, and he was the sheriff here for a long time, big man and a legendary sheriff, a great family. And Lila just passed away. I just went to her funeral Thursday, and she's just a fantastic lady, and just kind of want to give her a little bit of respect.
Well, and yeah, I mean, it's Memorial Day and all the public servants. It just isn't the armed forces. It's our firemen, our ambulance, our police, all of these guys that give of themselves and ladies that give of themselves to keep us safe. So we can have a little bit of fun and live life with our liberties and freedoms. This is traditionally one of the weekends that we stop and pause and we thank those people.
Yeah, and it's actually for those who have fallen, and Colonel Gillum's going to be on in the third segment to kind of tell us a little bit about Memorial Weekend. So,
coming up next, take off your shoes, walk into grapes, we're making some wine. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Well, the seven and the Messiah, yeah, tonight. But we're always numb and divided to buy.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Satisfaction's been our name since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
You're with the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Bri throwing down a little Alter Bridge there, new rock band. It's I guess he's part of that band now. So, but pretty cool, man. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's Memorial Day weekend, and we've got a lot to be thankful for. And one of those things is the crushed grape. What you thinking, Bob?
I'm thinking I'm really happy now that we invited Brian up here. So, it's thanks for joining us. Welcome back. And it is Memorial Weekend show. We are kind of featuring Fenn Valley, one of our long-term, one of our oldest sponsors here for the show. So we have grown very familiar with a lot of the varietals and a lot of the wines you produce. Matter of fact, your father-in-law, Doug, helped me when I planted my vineyard. He kept telling me, what do you want to grow grapes for? Just keep drinking mine.
Yeah.
It's like... Because you've got me so enthralled in wine, I'm just fascinated by it. I love beer, too, and I've brewed beer a little bit, but this is a real art that, I don't know, there's something very cool about making wine. And I'm in my third year with my vineyard, and I put sprinklers in this year, drip lines. So Jop was over a couple weeks ago, and remember that first row, all the little grapes that were coming out? I mean, it's really starting to fill out this year, so... It's kind of exciting to venture into the wine field. So tell us about what we're drinking right now.
Sure. So we brought a couple samples up here today.
I wouldn't have
been let in the door without them, probably.
Right.
So
you would have been let in, but you'd have been treated.
I'd have been
poorly.
Gone by now, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't have made it to the second.
Your
3 minutes
are done, man. <Yeah. laughs>
So you know, they just kind of give me a creative license over what wines to bring up, and so far that's worked okay.
I think he said we're mooches.
Right.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. We're in radio.
I've been called worse.
I'm sure we all have, right?
Right.
Yeah. So the first one is a wine we call our Cabernet Rosé. We call it Cabernet Rosé because the federal government won't allow us to call it Cabernet Rosé because it's actually a blend of two different Cabernet grapes, Cabernet Sauvignon and Cabernet Franc. And so.
Yeah, because the government needs another rule.
Right.
Right.
Right. But that would be.
About a name of a wine. Really?
If you use a wine term on the label, you have to use the whole term. And if it's a blend, you have to list all the grapes and their relative composition. So
see.
We switched to Cabernet Rosé, and everyone just thinks we don't know how to spell.
Right.
So
Well,
works.
You know, the rosé is interesting because there is no rosé grape. So, and when I was a young buck and you wanted to get a little jig going, you went and bought this big bottle of rosé from Lambrusco or Gallo.
That was actually, Lambrusco was the pricey stuff.
Yeah, right. But it seemed like it was always the the $2 Chuck wine that was the cheapest stuff
not
you could nearly get.
Not nearly as good as Boone's Farm.
Right, yeah. but this is, you know, I'm older, maybe my palate's a little more developed, but this is not that at all.
Right. Hopefully not. Right.
Right. No, not at all. So tell us about this. It's a pink wine, which is usually the ones that are the Boone's Farm, like you said, Bob, Strawberry Hill or whatever that used to be. But this is very tasty.
Yeah. So the category is really evolved in the U.S. The way we make our rosé is actually a very classic technique called a saignée, and it means to bleed. It's a French technique used in a lot of cooler climates in France. Because what we do is we actually bleed off about 10% of the liquid from a red wine fermentation a couple days in. And so the pink color is created because the juice hasn't spent enough time with those dark red skins to achieve full redness that you'd expect with a red wine. But the real reason we make it is not to make the rosé. The real reason we make it is to make the red wine better, because in a cool climate, we have less concentration of flavors in the skins. And so by eliminating some of the juice early in the ferment, we increase the skin-to-juice ratio such that you get less juice, more skins, which makes a bolder, more intensely flavored red wine. The byproduct is this really nice, fresh, crisp, clean pink wine that is bone dry and has some complexity, because you have to think the grapes that the flavor and color is coming from are some of the most complex grapes we grow in Southwest Michigan in those Cabernets. So this is one of my favorite wines to grill with. It just speaks grill. It's cool, you know, it's light and refreshing, but yet it's complex. So there's just a lot going on.
Would you typically serve this chilled?
Yeah, typically I would
like
serve
it like this.
Yeah, just chilled, maybe slightly above chilled, but I was grilling with it on Tuesday, and it's just it reminds me of summer once the rosé comes out, and it's like we're summer's arrived.
So this is a seasonal varietal.
Rosés don't age all that well, you know, that's not a bad thing for us, because you drink it sooner, which makes you have to come back and buy more. But rosés, there's a lot of reasons for that. Some do age decently well, but they're meant to be consumed young. They're just a fun, kind of easy to drink product. But like you were saying, Jop, they're not an inferior product by any stretch. In fact, these are some of the most valuable wine grapes you can grow in North America.
It's kind of a little bit more delicate then.
I think there's a lot of nuance to it.
And you know, you guys turned me on to your Vino Verde several years ago. That was the same way. You wanted to drink it this year, right now, because it's just not going to age that well. And this has a little bit of that tart characteristic of that. You know, it's not sour, but it's got a little pop to it.
Well, wine has a lot of acidity in general. You know, that's why wine and food pairings are tricky to some extent, because you're talking about a wine that's got quite a bit of acid in it, which is good. It kind of makes you salivate, makes you want to eat.
Yeah,
so it makes
I'm salivating
it good with,
right now looking at that Edelswicker.
Yeah.
So are you doing Vino Verde again this year?
We do. We call it Vino Blanco, another government regulation challenge for us. It's a Portuguese-style wine made with grapes that are intentionally picked early. Oh. So you have a little lighter flavor and a little higher acidity. Then you put a little bit of CO2 in there, and you get this really nice, crisp, clean, you know, quintessential summer wine for sure.
You chill the heck out of it and drink it on a hot day. It is fantastic. Ice cold. It's so good.
Well, I got a surprise for you, actually. We are, later this year, going to release that product in a can.
Perfect.
Really?
It'll be just
perfect
ideal for
the cooler.
This is the first time I've told anybody, actually. Nice. I wasn't even planning to do that.
Well, it's just Bob and I. You're not telling anybody.
That's a good point.
It's
you put a couple of glasses of rosé in me, and I really open up.
Mum's the word here.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. But so, Brian, it sounds like then at the winery, you're actually developing varietals. I mean, if you say, okay, we picked that grape early, we put a little CO2 with it, and so some are these recipes, or are they, do you have a R&D department, or how's that work?
Well, we're kind of the R&D department. You know, a lot of times one of us will be traveling, and Doug does travel a lot now, as you said, so he gets exposed to a lot of different types of wines. So a lot of times he'll come back and say, hey, you know, I had this.
And then
he'll
really
say,
priceless.
Hey, why don't you guys figure out how to make it?
Yeah.
You know, and so we'll kind of reverse engineer
and then
it a
he
little
leaves
bit.
Again.
Yeah. And then he'll come back and it's done. No, I mean,
good gig if you can get it. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, we've developed some things originally for sure, too. We like to take these existing styles and maybe apply some of our own touch to them. But a lot of these regions have been doing this for a long time. So
I sat in on some R&D sessions out on your patio a few late nights with you and Doug and your grandma, and she's gone now. But that was another cool lady. The history to Fenn Valley is worth exploring. If you've never been there, if you're anywhere in the Michigan area, you need to get there at least once because you'll fall in love with the place.
Well,
guaranteed.
And there's these really cool tours, and there's a part of the place that's underground, and there's cellars there, right? And it's just amazing that that exists. It's not just a West Coast thing or a Europe thing. It's right here in Michigan, and I'm sure there's a lot of them, but this one in particular is one of the largest that we have in the state.
It's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like an underground bunker.
Right.
But we went in it for an event we were at a couple years ago, and you've got another one coming up June 24th and 25th. What's that?
It's kind of our annual birthday party. We call it Wine Festival, and it's a celebration of local Michigan-made wine. And so we open up the whole facility, the cellar, the vineyards, and we take people throughout all those things. We have a live music. We'll have a barbecue actually provider there to provide some food, and we do some wine demonstrations as well. So it's kind of a choose-your-own-adventure. If you want to go learn something in the cellar for 20 minutes, you're welcome to do that. If you don't, you just want to sit around
so
and listen
impressive.
To music.
It's so yeah. huge.
And we do it right in the vineyard. So you're surrounded by vineyards. You can walk out in the vineyards. You can actually take a hay wagon out if you don't even feel like walking. And we'll set up little wine stations right in the middle of the vineyards themselves with yard games. And I mean, you can literally play Bago in the middle of a Chardonnay vineyard.
Here was my experience. The people that go there go every year.
Right.
We're going to ask you to stick around. We got Colonel Gillum coming up on the next segment.
Yep, Colonel Denny Gillum is going to help us do a little remembrance of the Memorial Day weekend. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orange Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at StandaleLumber.com.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guy Show.
Welcome back. Yardless, the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Happy Memorial Day weekend. I hope that you and your family have some great plans. Maybe get out and smoke up the neighborhood a little bit and have a little party and kick off this summer season the right way with a grill or a smoker and a bunch of seared meat. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, man?
Hey, what is cooking? It's that time of year, Jop. You know me. I'm a freak for Vidalia onions.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that pronounced right? Is it Vidalia or is it Vidalia?
It's Vidalia.
That's your onion. It's Vidalia.
I have a cousin that lives there, and she's corrected me enough times.
Well,
that's because
she's from the South.
I used to call them Vidalias. Well, she lives in the city of Vidalia.
Oh.
She goes, it's Vidalia.
So do you get a deal on onions?
Yeah, at Meijer. It was like,
right, yeah, exactly.
60 cents a pound. You get right. the 10-pound bag for $5.99.
Yeah.
It's awesome this time of year because I have several refrigerators, and I hoard onions. It's weird, but don't you use just an absolute ton of onions?
Oh, I love them. And that particular variety of onion goes well with everything. It's not too acidic.
You can grill it?
Yeah, it's just a great onion.
You can grill it, like cut it in half. You know, get the skin off it, or you can leave the skin on it. Cut it in half and then make some quarter cuts on the top and put a little bit of, I use a grapefruit EVO from Old World Olive Company. And then I'll put some sea salt and some fresh crushed pepper, and I'll set that on the grill with the skin side down and just real slow and low, just let it go. And the thing kind of opens up, and it gets a little smoky if your lid's shut on your grill. Oh, my gosh.
Your own little blooming onion.
So beautiful.
Bob's blooming onion.
So beautiful.
Yeah, man.
Just beautiful. And they're so sweet. It's like a fruit, you know. You can just... I mean, I eat a ton.
Yeah, you can eat them like an apple, really. I mean, they're that sweet and that mild. They're good.
My goal is to load up all my drawers in the refrigerator, the one in the garage, and as many bags as I can stash without getting yelled at, and then make it to deer season.
Whose refrigerator is that, Bob?
Well, it's supposed to be mine.
Well, I understand. So how are you getting yelled at about what you put in your fridge?
Dude, she's taking over everything, even the garage now. She's like, meow, 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 meow. I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did, because it's true. Weak. You're weak. Put your foot down.
We're going to get another refrigerator because you're going to build a bar for me in the basement.
Another refrigerator.
You're going to build a bar for me in the basement.
I'll just keep getting
more
refrigerators until she gives me one, right? Yeah.
So welcome back. Thanks for the this is like marital counseling time. A couple glasses of wine. We have a vintner. Brian's holding his head right now at the board. He doesn't know what to do with the show, but train's leaving the tracks here, Jop.
That's okay.
Bail us out.
Well, let's get it back on track because Brian Lesperin's from Fen Valley Winery. And Fen Valley is where, Brian, for our listeners that don't know?
We're right off 196, about 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids, so about 45 minutes from Kalamazoo as well. So a lot of an hour and a half from Lansing area. So we're kind of uniquely positioned. A
couple hours from Chicago.
Yeah,
right.
About two.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, not bad. A
couple hours from Detroit.
Right.
Really, it is. And we're kind of orphaned from the rest of the wineries. We're north of a good chunk of them that are right on the border of Michigan, Indiana.
Problem is you're 12 hours from Atlantic City, so all those folks in Atlantic City.
Worth the trip, though.
It really is. You folks out in Atlantic City in Jersey, you need to come to our state sometime because we come to your state, so you need to come out here and make a little road trip and see how gorgeous Lake Michigan is.
The Jersey Shore is beautiful, but it isn't Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan is like unbelievable until you see it. You won't be able to fathom what we're speaking of until you cast your eyes upon it.
That's right, and it's fresh water.
Yes.
Very different than the salt
water. So we were talking about pairing and doing a lot of fun stuff with pairing, but also kind of had a little sidebar conversation about aging wines, and that's something I still don't get quite right because my wine never gets old enough because we drink it. So
that's good. Those are the kind of customers we like.
Yeah. So tell us white wines and red wines. I believe at one time Doug told me, the rule of thumb is basically six years on a red, three on a white.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad rule of thumb, although I think Doug would tell you that we've kind of been proving ourselves wrong on the red side. So let me explain. White wines don't really age well. It's just not in their DNA. There's nothing in that red wine, or white wine rather, that's going to get better with time.
Now, is that right?
Now, within a year, you might see some fluctuation that may be positive, but as a general rule, white wines are as good as they're going to get. Red wine's a whole different story. You've got tannin, which, you know, as foodies, you're familiar with because it is in a lot of food.
Right.
You know, tea and a lot of your vegetables have a lot of tannin. That's that astringency that you get on your palate when you, like, really chomp down on the apple skin. Well, grapes have a lot of that. And white wines don't get affected by tannin because there's no skin contact. But reds, because we ferment on the skins, a lot of that tannin ends up in the resulting red wine. And that tannin is an antioxidant, which is why red wine's so good for you, Bob.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew there was a reason that I drink red wine all the time.
Yeah, that's why you guys are looking so good.
I'm a picture of fitness and health.
And we're trying some Capriccio right now.
Yep, which is a dry red. That's going to be primarily Chambersin and with a little bit of Merlot. So a hybrid grape, which is Chambersin, nice fruity grape, wonderful with food, good color. And then Merlot is a classic Bordeaux. Red brings in a little more complexity and
it was
intensity.
So smart of you to pick this because I tend to shy away from reds in the summer. Do you, Jop?
Yeah, it seems like a little bit heartier of a wine, and therefore
and
the
drink...
summer bids the rosé and it bids the whites.
And you like a cooler wine in the summer, and I never cool my red wines.
No.
This is a little bit less intense red. That's why I picked it because it is... I mean, it's good all year round, but you could drink this like with a burger on your patio when it's 75 degrees and it's not overwhelmingly tannic and intense. So yeah, that's the story. So red wines have this built-in antioxidant, which is why they can and in some cases need to age longer. But what we're seeing as we've matured as an industry is our reds are lasting longer. We've been breaking out bottles that are 10, 12 years old, and we're pleasantly surprised. Still wouldn't... you can overage a wine, any wine. These classic old wines that sell for thousands of dollars.
If you just tuned in, you are listening to the Brian Lesperance show. I mean, the Grilling Guys show on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's all about wine, baby, and Memorial Weekend. Go ahead,
Brian.
John.
I have a question for you, and I probably should have prefaced this during the break, but I have a friend that is in the beer business, and he puts in tap systems, and now he's taken a move into wine. Where they're going to start doing wine on tap in the little corny kegs that are what 4 or 5 gallons
Six gallons.
And what do you think about that just as a whole?
We do a lot of wine in kegs, so we're fans. I mean, it's a great format.
Have taps in your show.
We do. It's a great format because wine oxidizes quickly once the bottle's open. So if you drive your wine by the glass program through a keg and you push it with say nitrogen, which is an inert gas. That last glass of wine is going to be just as fresh as the first one. So bars, we're seeing a tremendous amount of bars and restaurants.
So if you push it with nitrogen, you're not actually carbonating.
That's
it
right. Out. That's why you wouldn't
instead
use CO2.
Right. But the important part of that is that people need to understand that that's not a bad way to drink wine. You know, traditionally you pop the cork, you set the bottle on the table. It's part of the ambiance and the presentation. But if you go to the wine bars that serve it by keg, you're not getting an inferior product.
Right. It's just like bag in a box. It started out with a horrible reputation
right.
because the first players in were pumping in all kinds of bad wine.
Franzio.
Yeah. Putting it, you know, I always say to customers, Franzio. It's the stuff on the bottom shelf at the grocery store.
Right.
And gradually, others figured out that this was a pretty good format to deliver wine by the glass. The kegs are in the same boat. In fact, I look for it when I go to restaurants because I know that bottle, it wasn't a bottle that was opened 3 days ago that they're going to sell me by the glass for $8. But that is going to come out of a tap where it's fresh, not exposed to air. So I seek them out.
When I was in Traverse City a couple of years ago, Ed O'Keefe had patented a machine that was going to be tapping it. Is that on the market yet?
I've heard things about it. I haven't seen one.
Okay.
Not sure.
That sounded cool, like a dispensary. You put in $5, you get a glass of wine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what's wrong with that?
I know.
Right? Swiping a drink, man, just hit your card.
Be like having a little, you know, casino machine in your house.
Just right.
Save money.
We'll try to get you one for your house.
Now I've got a new wine cellar going in. You'll have to come and visit because we're digging in a couple weeks. So we're going to have our own Fen Valley.
I like wine cellars. That means you got to buy more wine.
Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about pairing some meat with some food. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Play it again. And I said, play it again.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's Memorial Day weekend. I hope you're out in your backyard creating some grill envy in your neighborhood, whether you're at the cottage or you're by the pool. It might be a little chilly by the pool, but a lot of people open up their cottages this time of year. And, man, you got to eat. And what a better way to do it than getting out and doing it with a grill. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, welcome back. Thanks. You say pool. I was struggling with mine. It's only been open a couple weeks, and it's been cold. I don't have a heater anymore because my heater was roached. I'm too cheap to buy another one. But it was sucking air in the skimmer, and I was thinking that I had termites years ago. I thought maybe they got to my lines again. And I was just...
Use wood lines?
I was just getting... No, they love this plastic that the hose is made out of that's like licorice to them. So I was just about ready to start trenching lines out there. And I thought, well, I'm going to take this thing apart. And I took my little valves apart. And I saw around one of the O-rings, there was a whole bunch of dirt right up around the side. It was sucking the air in right before the skimmer. Cleaned it off, put a little bit of that stuff on it, put it back together. She's tight, baby. Nothing worse than having pool problems, because guess when you find out you have them?
Right, the day before the party.
When you want to use them.
Right, the day before the party.
You don't play with it in the fall. It's working fine. So little things in life can make you really happy.
Right.
But a little thing that could make me really happy is an affordable steak. When I think of an affordable steak, I think of sirloin.
Yep.
I think of something we call a sizzler. And I turn the boys in California when I do these gigs in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. They're big on tri-tips.
Sure.
So I taught them how to cut them into steaks. They had never done it before.
Oh, they're cooking the whole thing?
They're loving it now. They're making sizzlers. Johnny Brand made them famous.
Right.
But so how about a sizzler steak? What would you pair with a sizzler steak, Brian? We've got Brian Lesperance here from Fen Valley.
It depends on how you're seasoning it. You know, I think a nice kind of medium-bodied dry red would be a great suggestion. We brought the Capriccio here today. That would mm-hmm. be a good one. That's an un-oaked dry red. But sometimes that little more complexity with something that's got some oak age on it might tie in some of the smokiness from the meat on the grill. Also, you've got some, you know, if you're using any kind of pepper-based seasoning, a lot of your dry reds have that sort of peppery sensation as well, which should marry them pretty nice.
And how about this?
So we got our Adel's Vicar, which is a semi, it's an off dry. We call it off dry. It's just like under 1% residual sugar. It's a blend of Riesling and Traminette. Adelsvicker means noble red. It's a sort of obscure blend that typically would be Gewürztraminer and Riesling. And it's got
a little sweeter than a Gewürz, just slightly.
Well,
it
depends on how you finish it. But this one, we do finish with just a touch of residual, which really makes it food friendly because it gives you kind of, it tones down the Traminette grape has a little spice to it, kind of tones that back a little bit. But that grape has so much flavor and Riesling has so much flavor that there's just tons of different things that this wine pairs in
with. You said you finish it with a little residual. What's that mean?
Just a little sugar. There's a little sugar into, you know, kind of take the edges off, as okay. I would say. Not much, under 1%. So we're talking about a less than a pinch in a normal size glass of wine. So just, but a little goes a long way when it comes to that.
So that would take something like a Vino Verde and kind of bring it down to this level, acidity wise.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of acidity in these two grapes. And so what humans tend to taste is the balance of acidity to the sugar. So if you have higher acidity, you can carry a little more sweetness and it doesn't taste flat. So a wine with lower acidity, you wouldn't be able to use as much sugar, else it just kind of starts tasting like sugar water.
So if I've got a big, I'm an 80-20 burger guy, right? I like fats flavor, call it bad, but that's how I use it, right? And so I've got a little bit fattier ground meat that, and we oftentimes play with the burgers. We'll stuff them maybe with some gorgonzola or some sliced
more
olives.
More fat.
Right. But sure. Or sliced olives or something, but just to amp up the flavor a little bit. So you got this big, big blue cheese flavor with the strength of an olive with it. If I want to drink wine and not beer with that, what do you suggest?
Well, that's a powerful piece of food right there. Right.
Right?
So you're
right.
going to. Yeah, you're
going to
go with something that's got some full flavor. Now, the Adelsvicker on the white side would qualify. That's a big. For a white wine, that's got some structure and some body. I'd avoid something like a Pinot Grigio, which tends to be real light, real less intense, because it would probably just get bowled over.
Don't you want something a little bit acidic?
Yeah, the acid in wine is definitely going to help to keep your palate
clean
fresh.
Clean your palate.
Yeah, because the fat will kind of coat your taste buds, and the acid comes in and kind of washes
it out.
It's
coated a lot of things.
That ain't all I was going to say.
Yeah,
that ain't all
here.
It coats. Yeah.
I'm
going to
grab some more
ales
right here.
No, but that's a tremendous way that wine and food plays together. I mean, the idea that, you know, wine and cheese always goes together is in part based on that idea that the lipids in the fattier foods kind of do plug up those taste receptors, and that the acid and wine kind of wash them back.
So you should actually drink a little bit more wine when you're grilling then, because you cut the fat.
You don't need a reason. You just should. Right?
Okay, so let's say I'm going to try a white meat, and we all do chicken to death, but let's say maybe, a pork tenderloin. I don't know if that's really a white meat.
I think it is,
kind
technically.
Of pink meat.
Yeah.
Might need a cabaret.
You know, when you're done grilling it, it's white.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good pairing. I mean, a lot of times, again, it comes back to how are you seasoning, how are you preparing it? You know, if you're going to do kind of a lighter based seasoning on it, then you're going to want to. A little lighter, less intense wine.
If I get a flavorful piece of meat, I mean something with something like, well, when I was talking about tri-tips, you know, that's got a nice chuck profile to it. I'm just going to put sea salt and cracked pepper on it. I'm not going to take it into a profile because it's got so much great flavor. I don't want to mask that with. I'm not a big marinade your steak guy. Jop, are you?
Nope, not steaks.
I
chicken,
love it.
I'll marinate all day long.
Yeah, I don't even marinate chicken.
Yep, but I just enjoy imparting the flavor in the chicken because sometimes it's just chicken, you know, and you got to have something there to...
Chicken.
Yeah, especially if we take the skin off and we lose the fat, then it, you know, the protein's there and there's not a ton of flavor to it, so I'll put a marinade on that pretty regularly.
Okay, let's say I'm going to do some Jamaican jerk profile on some chicken thighs, skinless, boneless chicken thighs with some jerk.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to make a lot of sense, right? The thighs a little more flavorful. I just did this, actually. I think that Adelsvicker would be a good pairing. The Cabaret Rosé would be a good pairing. The Rosé we talked about earlier.
Well, we've only talked about these few you brought. The Capriccio, you have a whole bunch of other wines. So, I mean, you get what do you have, 30, 40 different wines?
About 40, depending on the time of the year.
So what would be another good pairing for some chicken thighs with a spicy profile?
Especially if you're not into the dry wines, which you two are, but a lot of people aren't. We have a series called Lakeshore, which is a little more value-driven.
Wonderful.
And we have a product called Lakeshore Demisec. Comes in with about 3% residual sugar, so it's a little more approachable for folks. But it's got a lot of flavor, so it would easily stand up to that.
That's
spiciness.
A surprising wine.
It's great.
Because
it's
you have a really plain label on it. It just says Lakeshore Demisec, and it's just a blue label. And it almost, is it a budget wine?
It is. I mean,
kinda
it's under 10
like
bucks
a bottle.
Kind of
looks like a budget bottle. Wine. Yeah. So when I opened my first bottle, I was like, well, you know, I've got this. I'll try it. I took one sip, and I'm like, wow, did I underestimate this wine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a budget wine for sure, and we do that on purpose. You know, that is one thing our scale gives us, is an opportunity to make wines less expensive.
So, Brian, everybody's got a different budget, right? So the spectrum of wines from low end, the budget, to the high end for Fen Valley at the retail, at the winery there, what's that spectrum look like so people can put it in perspective?
Really, it's about $8 to about $22. There's a few things that fall outside of that range, but for the most part, that's where everything's going to land.
Right, and some of the specialty wines are limited editions. Yeah, right. Those can be a little more, but where I'm going is this is affordable stuff. This is, we're not talking the stuff that you got to make an investment in it. This is drinkable wine. It's made to be purchased and drank rather than. You don't store this. You can, because some of it'll store very well.
We always talk about pairing wines and meat.
Yep.
But this time of year, the asparagus are coming out fresh, right? So there's tons of asparagus. I grill asparagus probably twice a week because it's really good for you.
Yep.
Does that enter into the equation?
That's
when
a tough pairing.
Wine
and asparagus is a very tough pairing. We have two wines that we make that pair in decently well. One is Sauvignon Blanc. Sauvignon Blancs do pair with asparagus. And the other is a new grape for us called Muscat Antonelle.
Oh.
We make a dry wine out of it. So you think Muscat, you think Moscato. But this is a dry wine, and that one and asparagus are just fantastic.
Interesting. Brian, you're a wealth of knowledge, my friend, because it's we've yet to stump the vintner. But
like
we got another segment
too.
coming, so maybe we can pull that off. But you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Relate to, because who wants to be told that he has to stop for directions? Today's man law. Christopher Columbus did not need directions, and neither do I.
There you go. You've even got a GPS now. All he had was a sextant and some stars, right?
Yeah.
He made it, though.
And
right?
I bet he had some wine on that ship.
I bet he did, a whole belly full.
Leaving out of Portugal.
Good stuff. But you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. We'd be remiss if we didn't take this time to thank those that have died serving our country to allow a couple knuckleheads like Barbecue Bob and I the liberties that we enjoy and be able to yak with you each and every weekend as the Grilling Guys. What are you thinking about that, Bob?
I think it's just a tremendous holiday. I would encourage anybody to participate in your Memorial Holiday weekend and go to your local parade. Our parade in my little town starts off with our World War II Memorial Park downtown. And then, I mean, everybody, the whole town shows up. It's a small town, but the VFW, I'm in the American Legion. The American Legion always marches in it. We march down to the cemetery, and then they usually have a very dignified speaker giving just a great address, but it's something that you should embed in your children so that you never forget. When we were in Europe a few years ago, we ended up in Lower Flanders in Belgium. And these people kept telling us, you need to go to this town called, I think it was called Ypres. And that was the place where the Allies stopped the Kaiser. Every night in this town, there's this huge memorial. And every night in this town at 8 o'clock, thousands of people, tourists, locals, whatever, show up, and they do a ceremony. And I think it's so cool that they just project that respect forward for all those people who just marched into death.
Right.
I mean, those guys, they were kids. They were 18, 19-year-old kids. You think about your 18 and 19-year-old kids right now, and you want them marching into a hail of bullets. And
right.
That's how war was fought, right?
Right.
Started off in that war in trenches. That's when trench warfare became normalized. And, I mean, they just brutalized each other for a year and a half in trenches. I mean, more people died probably of trench foot than,
right.
than of bullets. But horrible sacrifices people made. And I think it's cool that certain communities in particular pay respect to all those people that lost their lives.
That's right.
To protect us.
This is not the grilling kickoff of the summer. It's coincidental that those things go together.
Right.
But it is a time for families to get together. And one of the things, not to be too gruesome, but I want to touch on this because I thought it was really cool and I witnessed this. A lot of times this is when you go to a cemetery, right, and you pay your respects, and there's the flags are all over the cemetery, and it's really cool to go. But if you see a penny on a grave, that means a friend or a family member visited. If you see a nickel on the grave, it means somebody visited that trained in boot camp with this person. If there's a dime on the grave, it means they served together. And if there's a quarter on the grave, it signifies that they were a veteran. They were there when that veteran passed away.
That's really cool.
Really cool thing.
Really cool.
But you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We'll talk with you next week.
I can still hear the sound of you saying, don't go away.